Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Trinadapi Sunichena Tarar Eva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama Harinama Harinamai Vakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome everybody to this nice class that we have on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're starting a new chapter. This new chapter will teach us the personal reasons why Krishna appeared 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And within that explanation, we will learn many things about Radha Thakurani, Srimati Radharani. So this is be a very nice chapter. It will take us probably the year or more to finish it. There's a lot to learn. So let us begin. We are studying the Adi Leela, chapter number 4. Entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, Prabhupada gives a chapter summary. In this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own, because in the previous chapter, which we didn't read, we may read one day, the author gave the external reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared. Primarily, the external reason was to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga by giving them the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So that was the external purpose. Now in this chapter, we will learn three personal reasons. In other words, God is a person, and He's allowed to have His own agenda, His own itinerary, and His own purpose, just like we do. So let's continue. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord Himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. So that was first. The second reason for His appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of Himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime, and to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. So as you can see, this chapter is going to be quite thick, sweet, and sublime. Third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Does that blow your mind? It does mine. Because this only makes sense to you if you fully understand Krishna. That's why you've heard it said by those who preach Bhaktivedanta philosophy that first you have to learn Bhagavad Gita. And the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's God, surrender. Then we learn in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chime Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvata. If you understand Krishna's birth and activities in truth, Chatva Dehang Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjana, you don't come back. So therefore, when somebody wants to understand Krishna's birth and activities, Srimad Bhagavatam will explain that nicely. 90 chapters in the 10th canto, all about Krishna's janma and karma, his birth and activities. Now, when one wants to go further, here you go. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And you've already heard so far in this chapter summary things that perhaps you have never heard elsewhere. Welcome to the club. As you can see, only a very few fortunate people are allowed entrance into the club. Although there's no entrance fee, still, by people's own free will, they're elsewhere. But you are here. Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo namo namaha. Let's continue. Let's go back. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible, because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male, and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pramami Hari Priye. So Lord, Srimati Radharani's complexion is molten gold. Okay. Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to fulfill these confidential desires and also preach the special significance of chanting, everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to answer the call of Advaita Prabhu. These were secondary reasons. So in the previous chapter is where the author explains the external reason Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, preach about the Hare Krishna mantra, and to answer the call of Advaita. So I will tell you that story, because his appearance day is next Sunday. And we can have class next Sunday if you want. All right. Maybe we'll do a class on Advaita Acharya, unless you're too attached to this chapter. We'll see what you say tomorrow, next week. So, Advaita Acharya, he appeared before Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya, you should have learned from the last chapter, who is Advaita Acharya? Mahavishnu. And what group does he belong to? He belongs to... Yes. He belongs to Vishnu Tattva, correct. But he belongs... What did we study in the last chapter or something? The last chapter we studied, especially the first few classes, Pancha Tattva. So that's the club he belongs to. And yes, you're right, Batu. What name did he give you? Radhakrishna. He got initiated last night. Batu Gopal, something like that? So, Advaita Acharya appeared before Lord Chaitanya, although he's Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is God, yes. He's an expansion of Krishna, Svangsha. So when Advaita Acharya came, he saw, oh my God, this is Kali Yuga. Everybody is fallen. Even those who are Hindu and pious, still I don't see any Krishna Bhakti anywhere. This is Kali Yuga. How am I... These people are so fallen, there's no pure Krishna Bhakti. Advaita Acharya said, I can't deliver them. This is how Advaita Acharya was thinking. It's not possible for me to deliver these fallen souls of age of Kali. So then Advaita Acharya remembered, oh, wait a second. There's a verse which says that if you worship Krishna with tulsi leaves and Ganges water, Krishna sells himself to that devotee. Okay, everybody run out and get your Ganges water and tulsi leaves. So, Advaita Acharya then started worshipping the Shalagram Shila, the form of Krishna in a stone ball, on the bank of the Ganges, with tulsi leaves and Ganga Jal, and he would loudly cry out, Krishna, you have to come and deliver the people of Kali Yuga. I'm unable to do it. He's Mahavishnu. So as it says here, so therefore Krishna heard the loud cries of Advaita Acharya and came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's continue with the summary. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami was the principal figure among Lord Chaitanya's confidential devotees. The records of his diary have revealed these confidential purposes of the Lord. So this is what is meant by disciplic succession. Swarup Damodar, especially in the second half of Lord Chaitanya's life, sannyas, Swarup Damodar came and was Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant, secretary. Just like I myself, I learned so much from certain godbrothers who were Prabhupada's direct servant. So when I have an opportunity, like there was this devotee, Hari Shari, he was Prabhupada, so he is a friend of mine, so I've had him over to my house. That's one time I asked him, what did Prabhupada like to eat? And he said, Prabhupada liked rice, dal, and sabjis. I said, what kind of sabjis? Paneer sabjis. I said, yes. There's my spiritual master. It is confirmed. Although my paneer days are over now. But my point is, because he was directly serving Prabhupada, I can learn so much. So this Swarup Damodar was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya for some 18, 24 years. So his records of his diary, Hari Shari kept a diary also. You've read those books. So that's how we know these things. It's not some fanciful concoction. He was there. He wrote it in his diary. These revelations have been confirmed by the statements of Srila Rupa Goswami in his various prayers and poems. Why is that important? Well, because Rupa Goswami, we are all known as Rupanugas. And also, Rupa Goswami is also known as Rupanuga Prabhupada. This term Prabhupada means so many other Prabhus have taken shelter of him. There are different meanings, but the context here, Rupa Goswami was so prominent, many other great devotees, they took shelter of him. Okay? So if Rupa Goswami confirmed something, very authorized. Because he himself was a great authority. This chapter also specifically describes the difference between lust and love. That's a nice section. Krishnadas Kaviraj. The transactions of Krishna and Radha are completely different from material lust. Therefore, the author has very clearly distinguished between them. So that is what we're going to study in this chapter. I hope that you can attend as much of them as you can. Of course, you can read this chapter in your spare time as well. All right, before we go further, let's do a quick bhajan, kirtan.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallava Girivarad Hari. Gopi Janna Vallava Girivarad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gobi Jana Vallabha Giribaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai. I want to thank you all for making this class nice, because depending on the audience, I can preach accordingly. And because you're such a nice class, you allow me to go to a very high level. In other audiences, I can't do half the things I do with you. So I want to thank you for being at such a nice level. All right, so the format for every chapter, the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, even though he's Bengali, he composes a Sanskrit verse for each chapter of this book in order to give you a summary. So let's do it together. We can chant together. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tad Rupasya Virnirnayam Balopi Kurute Shastrang Drishtra Vraja Vilasina. You can see many delicious words in there. Vraja. Nice. Whenever you see that word, vraja. Alright. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of vraja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. So, the significance there, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. That's the meaning of tatvataha, scientifically. That is something we always want. We want to have our Krishna conscious understanding correctly in line with the understanding of the revealed scriptures. It's called scientific, vijnanam. Purport. One can ascertain the meaning of this Sanskrit shloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can easily understand Lord Sri Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's do verse number 2 together. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda. All glory to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glory to Lord Nityananda. All glory to Advaita Acharya. And all glory to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I made a mistake. Advaita Acharya's appearance is not next Sunday. It's in 2 Sundays. Okay? It's in 2 Sundays, so I was ahead of myself. I'm already in India already. Text number 3. I have described the meaning of the 4th verse. In other words, in the beginning of this book, the book opens with 14 Sanskrit verses
which explains the whole, you say, mission statement of the book. So with those original 14 verses, the author then explains. So he's picking up because he's already explained the first four verses. O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. Just to explain the original verse, I shall first suggest its meaning. I have given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. Purport. In the third chapter, fourth verse, it has been clearly said that Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to distribute love of Krishna and chanting of his transcendental holy name, Hare Krishna. That was the secondary purpose of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The real reason is different, as we shall see in this chapter. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. Those of you who have read the 10th canto, the opening scene, right? Mother Earth comes to Lord Brahma in the form of a cow. She's crying. Brahma hears from Mother Earth how she is overburdened because of the military-industrial complex headed up by Kamsa. Brahma goes with Mother Bhumi and Lord Shiva and all the demigods. They go to the shore of the ocean of milk. They offer the prayer, Purusha Sukta prayer. Lord Brahma receives a message within his heart. The message is, Krishna is coming to relieve the burden of the earth. That's how the 10th canto begins. Text number 8. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. You like this? Yes, because now we're getting into a much more higher understanding. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. Because Krishna has a schedule, just like you have a schedule, right? Because you all have jobs, you can't just waltz into work anytime you like, unless you're the boss. But normally, if you have a job, you're expected to be there at a certain time. In my wife's office, if you're late, you get docked. They have to sign in on the computer, and it's recorded. Your computer tells when you have signed in. And if you're off, it comes out of your paycheck. So Krishna himself has a schedule. He comes once in a day of Lord Brahma. A day of Brahma is called the Kalpa. There are 30 Kalpas in Brahma's month, 12 months in a year, and he lives for 100 years. But his Kalpa is millions of our years. Okay, let's continue. Purport. We have information from the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears at particular intervals to adjust a time-worn spiritual culture. Lord Sri Krishna appeared at the end of Dwarapara Yuga to regenerate the spiritual culture of human society and also to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Vishnu is the authorized Lord who maintains the created cosmos. Yesterday, when I did my first program, somebody asked me a question. What is Lord Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva? Who is the Supreme? So I gave my answer. So who creates or engineers the universe? Lord Brahma. So all you engineers, now you know who is the Adi engineer. You're all disciples of Lord Brahma, you engineers out there. Then Vishnu maintains, you're an engineer, right? You're an engineer. I know he's an engineer. So you should all have Lord Brahma somewhere. He's your original. And Lord Shiva destroys, and Vishnu maintains. Okay, let's go back. Vishnu is the authorized Lord who maintains the created cosmos. And he is also the principal deity who makes adjustments when there is improper administration in the cosmic creation. But Sri Krishna, being the primeval Lord, appears not in order to make such administrative adjustments, but only to exhibit his transcendental pastimes and thus attract the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. However, the time for administrative rectification and the time for Lord Sri Krishna's appearance coincided at the end of the last Dvarapar Yuga. Therefore, when Sri Krishna appeared, Vishnu, the Lord of maintenance, merged with him because all the plenary portions and parts of the Absolute Personality of Godhead merge with him during his appearance. This is also explained in Krishna book. Prabhupada explains this point. So when Krishna appeared, all the avatars are there in the body of Krishna. That's why he's called Purna Bhagavan. They're all his expansions. Yes. Shall we proceed? Okay, text number 10. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within him. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, Matsya and the other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars, the Manvantara incarnations, and as many other incarnations as they are, all descend in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, appears. And the word is used there, by the way. He uses the word. Let's see if it's here or was in the previous verse. Yeah, in verse number 10, he uses the term Purna Bhagavan. If you look at verse number 10, Purna Bhagavan, the full. All right, let's go now to text number 13. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Text number 14. Thus, the killing of the demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. So, just so that you understand what's going on, before explaining Lord Chaitanya, Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining Krishna avatar right now. Okay? So this verse is explaining why Krishna appeared. He had external reasons to kill the demons. Now, in this verse, you learned that he had two other reasons. Taste the essence of the mellows of love of God and propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Because that's what is happening on Krishna's planet. Spontaneous attraction. Purport. During the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers, such as Kamsa and Jarasandha, were done by Vishnu, who was within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Vrajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. I like this chapter already. I forgot how great this chapter was. I think I'm going to enjoy this more than you. Please forgive me. This is great. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called raga bhakti, or the devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Wow. This word rapture is used by the Christians. There's a certain sect of Christians. They have this concept that when the end of the world comes, the select chosen few will be swept up to heaven. George Bush used to believe was one of those, the rapturists. They think that they're so holy and righteous that when the end of the world comes, they're not going to be punished, but they'll just be swooped up to heaven. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is more attracted by raga bhakti than vidhi bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. That's the platform we're on. We're on vidhi bhakti. Or vaidhi, yes. Well, here he says vidhi. But you're right, sometimes it says vaidhi. Now, you may have recalled those who, when we used to do the Nectar of Devotion class at Kundan Loka, we studied this, that if you strictly follow vaidhi or vidhi bhakti, gradually, naturally, you come to raga bhakti. It's not that you can just jump. It's not that you read this and go, oh yeah, I want to do raga bhakti. First, you have to do very severe, strict, rigid vaidhi bhakti. Then, gradually, over time, you get to that raga bhakti stage. And anyone who tries to tell you differently, they're cheating you. It's not that you get a guru and he blesses you, now you're on raga bhakti. You have to follow strict rules and regulations. It's not that you go to some guru and he said, oh yes, in the spiritual world, your original swarup is a peacock. So I want you now to start practicing to be a peacock. That's ludicrous. No. The spiritual master engages you what? Four regulative principles. Chanting 16 rounds and engaging in devotional activities. Strictly. And when that becomes fixed up, little by little, gradually, you start to awaken your dormant love, spontaneous love for Krishna. Prabhupada tells the story that in ancient times, and perhaps some of you may be able to appreciate, in ancient times, many times in India, the girl and the boy were married at a very young age. There was no courtship. The marriage was arranged. And at a certain point, the girl was told, now you go and live with your husband. So there's no love, but little by little, by service, right? Little by little, then there's attachment, attraction. And then after so many years of serving, then there's real love. So much love that in ancient times, if the husband died, the wife, out of separation, voluntarily would commit the sati rite, voluntarily, out of so much separation. Key word, voluntarily. And Prabhupada mentions, but then Kali Yuga, sometimes she was forced. And that's when this thing is abolished. There's no force. It was because there was so much love, so much attachment. Okay, let's get back. It is said in the Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad, Raso Vaisa, the absolute truth is the reservoir of all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon this privilege of raga bhakti. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So this sentence, he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of raga bhakti. I've read this book many, many times. But I'm realizing, I may have read this book many times, but there's still things I didn't read. This is interesting. He wants to bestow upon us this privilege. The translation to the Tulsi Kirtan. Please allow us the privilege of devotional service. It's one of the lines in the Tulsi Kirtan. That's a nice concept. Privilege means it's special. If you're given a privilege, for instance, some people, they have so many miles, they get a certain card so that when they're traveling, they can stay in the President's Club at the airport. And if you fly first class, sometimes I get to fly first class, complimentary, because I have so many miles, and so every once in a while I'm allowed to stay in the President's Lounge. So it's a privilege. Not everybody can go. So this raga bhakti is a privilege. Okay, let's go now to verse number 17. Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. What Bhagavad Gita verse does that remind you, Bhattukji? Anybody know? Yeyata mang prapadyante tangs tadaiva vajamyaham mama vartman uvartante. Right? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So this is another way of saying that. Purport. The Lord, by His inherent nature, reveals Himself before His devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of Him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto Him with such natural affection. Now I have a question. So when we come to the temple, are we worshiping God with reverence, or should we worship Him in this other way? Really? Here's why your answer is wrong. Somebody who is actually on that platform would never advertise. So in the temple, always you're worshiping in the mood of awe and reverence. Otherwise it becomes a disturbance. So externally, like for instance, Lord Chaitanya. Where would Lord Chaitanya be in the Jagannath temple? In the back. Not up front. Mm-mm. In the back. Now he's seeing the Jagannath deity, just like if you go to LA temple, they have the Jagannath deity. But when Lord Chaitanya was seeing Jagannath deity, what was he seeing? He was seeing the Shyama Sundara form. So externally, he was behaving, worshiping Krishna, right, Jagannath, with awe and veneration, but internally, he was seeing. You follow? So that's why in the temple, just like we have Radha and Krishna here, right? Radha Raman. But the way we worship is not this spontaneous. We are worshiping the deity in awe and veneration. Any ISKCON temple, that is how Prabhupada instructed. Therefore, the temple, the deity should be opulently worshipped. Lots of profuse flowers. Lots of decorations. The actual worship that we do is that of awe, reverence, like a king. That's how you do temple worship. Internally, that's different. You would not advertise. Okay. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Godhead is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires and is not mixed with any sort of fruitive action or empiric philosophical speculation. I'll give you another reason why I was making this point. There were only a few occasions where Prabhupada himself went into trance or experienced ecstasies. And almost in every instance, Prabhupada, when he would come back to consciousness, would say, I'm very sorry. I hope it was not a disturbance and it wasn't for too long. In other words, he was ashamed that he had exhibited these in public. You see my point? Not that make a show out of it. Then it becomes cheap. Real spiritual emotions that you experience with Krishna, those are very precious and private, and you don't unnecessarily advertise. Okay. Yes, sir. A couple of times. Yes. Yes. Not very long. Minute, couple of minutes. I myself saw Srila Prabhupada cry when he arrived in Atlanta. He started to sit. Last night, Radha Krishna Das sang Parama Karuna. This was Atlanta, 1975, March. So Prabhupada started to sing the song. And he was trying to explain it. And he broke down crying. And he had to excuse himself. He said, I'm very sorry. He got very emotional. And I remember one of the senior God brothers told me, this very, very, very rarely happens. Very rarely. So I consider myself fortunate. I got to, and I was right up close too at that time. I was right up close to the Vyasasan. One time he was chanting a bhajan or a kirtan or something or speaking, and he went into trance like that. And then after some time. Okay? Okay. Let us continue. Purport. The Lord, by His inherent nature, reveals Himself before His devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of Him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto Him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Godhead is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires and is not mixed with any sort of fruitive action or empiric philosophical speculation. It is pure and natural love of Godhead, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere, freed from material affection. And here it is. Look at the next verse. Yes, that's why I was saying, what does that statement by Krishna Das Kaviraj remind you? Here it is. Let's chant it together. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tataiva vajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manusha parata sarvasha. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So, can anybody tell me if there's any exclusions? If it says everyone follows my path, would there be anyone that's excluded from Krishna's path? That's my question. Is this statement, everyone follows my path, Is that absolutely true, or are there any exceptions? That's my question. Or shall I ask you this? Huh? Good. That was good. But here's why. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't say the word devotee. That's the way Prabhupada is translating it in the context of the discussion based on what Krishnadas Kaviraj. But I agree with you. Because everyone's on Krishna's path for this reason. There is no existence apart from Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. So there is nobody who's not on Krishna's path. There's no other option. In Greek mythology, say, their understanding of God was the Greek god Thor, and then you had Zeus, anyway. They have a conception that the evil is like a competitor. Okay? So, but not here. So, whether it be all the demons, my point, what I was trying to make, all the demons, they're also on Krishna's path. They're not outside. Maya means illusion. Maya means there's some existence apart from Krishna, but that's an illusion. There cannot be any existence. Otherwise, there's no meaning to the statement, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Vasudev Krishna is everything. Everything is Krishna, yes. So everyone is on Krishna's path, good or bad, devotee or non-devotee. Everyone is on Krishna's path. He's the Supreme Absolute. All right, we'll finish up with this purport. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna affirms that formerly, 120 million years before the battle of Kurukshetra, he explained the mystic philosophy of the Gita to the sun god. The message was received through the chain of disciplic succession, but in course of time, the chain being broken somehow or other, Lord Sri Krishna appeared again and taught Arjuna the truths of the Bhagavad Gita. At that time, the Lord spoke this verse, Bhagavad Gita 4:11, to his friend Arjuna. So the question I have, since I'm in a questioning mood, how did the chain of disciplic succession get broken? Anybody can explain? How did it get broken? Anybody have an idea? Okay, I'll give you a clue. So, in that first verse of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said, Krishna spoke to the sun god. What does the rest of that verse say? And the sun god spoke it to his son, Manu, and Manu gave it to his son. Now, with that in mind, how do we get to the point the succession was broken? Either they didn't repeat it, or they changed it. That's how the succession gets broken. Prabhupada has created a disciplic succession. So as long as his followers repeat that message, but as soon as somebody changes it, adulterates it, or stops, right, then it's broken. The mailman, do you want the mailman going through your mail? Opening it? Say you're getting your tax refund. Do you want the mailman going through and, I think I'll take that. You want the mailman to just deliver the mail. When the mailman does that, perfect mailman, right? So that's what the disciple is supposed to be. Perfect mailman. Coming down in disciplic succession, one after the other. Krishna spoke, say from this point to Arjuna, and now it's coming down. So our business, repeat. Krishna says surrender. We tell everybody surrender to Krishna. All right. I'm not sure if we're going to have class next week because I have my daughter's birthday and my wife's birthday, so I'm not sure. I may not be free, but you'll know soon enough whether we're going to have class. But definitely on the 29th, which is the appearance of Advaita Acharya, we will have class. Are you all happy? All right. I'm too happy. Batukji, shall we chant something? I like doing kirtan with you, Batuk. And I'm going to use my tabla. And you're going to play harmonium? All right. After all, Gita likes this tabla.
Hari Haraye Namah.
Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. 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 Such a nice class. I wish I could go on for a few more hours. The way you make me feel, I could do an 8-hour class. Unfortunately, I gotta go. But this tells you how much I appreciate your high level. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be in your association. And we had up to 15 devotees online, so let's say Hari Bol to the devotees online. And we will end today's class here. First, let me give blessings to the online devotees. And now you can all come up and get your blessings. Hari Bol. Is everything okay? You kept coming in and out. I thought something was wrong.
Well, we put something on the top.
Oh.